This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which will benefit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be with him in Jannah. Inshallah, we'll talk about the religious background of Arabia, so that we know the environment in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. Now, obviously they started on Tawheed because of the da'wah of Ismail alayhi salam. He was their prophet and they followed him. So the Arabs of Arabia started out as Muslims, as believers in the oneness of Allah. So what went wrong down the line for them to reach to the level they were at when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to them? In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were three religions in Arabia: idol worshipping, Christianity, and Judaism. So we'll talk about how these three religions came into existence. Amr bin Luhay al-Khuza'i, you remember him? He's the leader of Khuza'a. This man was very generous, very strong, very much respected by his people. They used to respect him so much and admire him so much that his words were taken as law. كَانَ قَوْلَهُ يُؤْخَذْ كَالشَّرَعِ. Amr bin Luhay al-Khuza'i, he traveled to Syria, to Asham. And I'm translating Asham as Syria, even though it's not a correct translation. I mean, Asham refers to Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan. That land is called Asham. And the center of Asham is Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. But it has been translated in English as Syria, so we'll just go by that translation for now. So here we have Amr bin Luhay al-Khuza'i, he's traveling to Asham, to Syria. He goes there and he finds these idols. So he asks the people, what are these? So they told him, well, these are intermediates between us and Allah. يُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ. So when we want to ask for rain, we ask them. They appeal on our behalf to Allah. When we want children, we would go to a different idol. When we want this, you would go to that idol. In war, we have a certain idol. And they appeal on our behalf to God and they perform things for us. Amr ibn Luhay said, excellent, this is what we need. That is what we need. We need someone to appeal to our Lord to provide us with rain, to provide us with wealth. How about you hand me over one of these idols, so I can take it back home? So they gave him a pretty good idol, big, huge, called Hubal. So he carried Hubal with him back to Mecca, and he established it next to Al-Kaaba, in Al-Haram. And he told his people, these will intercede on your behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask them whatever you want. Now, Mecca being the center of Arabia, the religious authority of Arabia, bringing an idol to Mecca carried with it such a heavy weight. I mean, you have the Arabs coming from all over the peninsula to make Hajj. So all of them were exposed to this new bid'ah innovation in religion. And it started spreading like wildfire, because it was coming from the religious center, and it was also adopted by Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i, who was so respected by his people. So now it became a business. In Mecca they would make idols to export to the other tribes. So now every tribe would come to Mecca and they would carry with them an idol to take home, because they cannot come all the time and ask from Hubal. So they would have these idols that they would carry with them. And then this concept was developed further. I mean, it starts out small and then it grows. The concept was carried further, so now they were making portable idols. You carry it in your backpack wherever, whenever you're traveling, you have one with you. I don't know if you remember the story of Umar ibn Khattab. He was once seen crying and laughing. So he was asked, why were you crying and why were you laughing? He said, the reason why I was laughing is I remembered in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, I was traveling and I wanted to pray. But then I remembered that I forgot to bring my God with me. So what I did is, I tried to think of a way I want to pray. So I had some dates with me. So I molded the dates into a form of an idol. And I worshipped it. Later on that night I became hungry. So I ate my idol. He said, that's why I'm laughing. And you know, now he's looking back and he's saying, what was I doing? How could I do that? You see how Islam changed. See how Islam changed them. See who was Umar ibn Khattab and who he became after Islam. You know, these giants, the Sahaba, when we read about them and their wisdom, this is where they were. So this shows you how Islam had the power to change them from being nothing to being the best. How Islam transformed them in a very short period. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of Islam, that it had the capacity to bring such a people and to bring about in their lives such a change and make out of them these giants. And Umar ibn Khattab, who would Umar ibn Khattab be without Islam? Abbas Mahmud al-Aqad, he asked that question in his book about Umar ibn Khattab. He says, who would Umar ibn Khattab be without Islam? He said, maybe he could grow to become the leader of his clan, his family of Banu Uday, which were a very small branch of Quraysh. He said, or maybe he could have been one of the prominent leaders of Quraysh. Or if we extend it further, then he might be the head of Quraysh, which is a far-fetched assumption, because the other clans of Quraysh who held power in the past would never allow such a thing to happen, to start with. So he said, we're stretching it too far to say that he would become a leader over Quraysh. He said, but the most likely scenario was that Umar ibn Khattab would die at a young age. He used to drink a lot before Islam. So most likely he would have died at a young age, and Umar ibn Khattab would have been an obscure figure of history. But with Islam, not only did he become a leader of Quraysh or Arabia, he became the ruler of two-thirds of the world at that time. One of the greatest men that ever lived in history. That is the transformation that Islam brought in their lives. Anyway, so idols were being exported, and now they were being made in different shapes and forms, and you have a different idol for different purpose. And Al-Kaaba was polluted, surrounded with idols 360 idols surrounding Al-Kaaba. Shirk now was in every direction. What started out as one idol imported turned into a huge exporting business and shirk in every direction in Mecca. So that is how the religion of Ismail changed down the line. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, رَأَيْتُ عَمْرُ بِنْ لُحَيْءِ الْخُزَاعِ يَجُرُّ قُصْبَهُ فِي النَّارِ كان أول من بدل دين العرب. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have seen Amr bin Luhay al-Khuza'i dragging his entrails, his intestines in hellfire, because he was the first man to change the religion of the Arabs.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ibn Umar, may God be pleased with them both, said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, O people, indeed you will die and you will go to God. May God have mercy on a servant who talked and earned goodness, or kept quiet and stayed safe. Indeed, the tongue controls the person more than anything else. Surely, all the human's talk is against him except the remembrance of God, or bidding good, or forbidding evil, or making peace between the believers is for him. Mu'adh, may God be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of God, will we be judged by what we say? He, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Is there anything which throws people into hell except the harvest of their tongues? He who wants to be safe, he should control what his tongue says, and guard his heart, and do good deeds, and limit his hopes. A few days later, the following verse was revealed. There is no good in much of their secret conferences save in who enjoins almsgiving, or kindness, or peacemaking among the people. Whoso does that, seeking the good pleasure of God, we shall bestow on him a vast reward.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw him in a hellfire, going around his intestines, trying to pull them back in his stomach. So this is how idol worshipping was introduced in Arabia. What about the Jewish faith and Christianity? The king of Yemen, Tabban Asad, was traveling to do business in Asham. And he passed next to Medina, and he left his son in Medina to do business until he comes back from Syria. The people of Medina killed him, killed his son. So when Tabban Asad came back and heard the news that his son was killed, he decided to destroy Medina. So he attacked. And his army was overwhelming compared to the small armies of Medina. So he could have crushed his opposition. But two Jewish rabbis came out of Medina. Now how did Jews get there in the first place? When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, the Jews dispersed. There were some of them who came down into Arabia in search of the promised land where the Nabi would be sent. Because they had in their books signs of the awaited prophet. So they were looking for the place where he would immigrate to. They saw these signs in Medina and in a few other places, in Hajar and other places. So, and this is where the Jews settled, because these places had the resemblances or the signs of the place where the Prophet would be sent. So that is why they settled in Medina. Three Jewish tribes. We had Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. So that's how they reached Medina. So they were ethnically Jewish who immigrated when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. So these two Jewish rabbis, they came out and they came to Tabban As'ad and they told him, this place is protected by God. If you attempt to destroy it, Allah will destroy you. And they were able to convince Tabban As'ad. Tabban As'ad not only agreed to withdraw his army and stop attacking Medina, but he also was impressed by their religion and wanted to become Jewish himself. And then he invited these two Jewish rabbis to go with him to Yemen. And they agreed. And he became Jewish. Now, on his way south, heading back to Yemen, the tribe of Hawazin, they had a problem between them and Quraysh. Hawazin, they had a problem with the people of Mecca. So they wanted to make a fitna to start a division or cause a problem between Tabban As'ad and Mecca, and they succeeded. So Tabban As'ad was contemplating attacking Mecca. Now these two Jewish rabbis told him, this is another town that is protected by Allah. You shouldn't attack Mecca. In fact, you should go into Mecca and make tawaf around the Kaaba. He said, well, let's go. They said, no, we cannot join you. How come? They said, we are scholars and it is not appropriate for us as scholars to go and make tawaf around the Kaaba when it's surrounded by idols. So he went in and he made tawaf. And Tabban As'ad was the first person ever to clothe Al-Kaaba. He was the first one to clothe Al-Kaaba. And he would clothe it once a year. And the way they would do it in the past is they would bring the new clothing and place it over the old, because they considered the clothing of Al-Kaaba to be sacred and they can't take it off. So they would keep on piling up one cloth over another until the weight of it just became, the sheer weight of it was so heavy, eventually they decided that they're going to have to take it off and just place one clothing at a time.
We'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
Tabban As'ad then went with these two Jewish rabbis to Yemen, and they were given freedom and encouragement to spread their religion among the Yemeni tribes. And many of the tribes in Yemen did embrace the Jewish faith. So you have two types of Jews in Arabia. You have ethnic Jews in Khaybar and Medina, but then you have Jews by conversion in Yemen. So the Jews of Yemen are ethnically Arab, but they adopted the Jewish faith. So you can see that at some moments of time, Jews did preach their religion. And now they might not do that, but there were points in history where they did preach their religion to others. And an example is Yemen. So that's how the Jewish religion was introduced into Arabia. What about Christianity? When Isa alayhi salam was sent, some of his followers dispersed in the land, and Christianity was dividing into many sects very early on. And very early on, many of these sects became disbelievers. They were dalala, misguidance was introduced very early on into the sects of Christianity. However, there were pockets of believers here and there that were able to retain the true Christian faith that was preached by Sayyidina Isa, Jesus alayhi salam. Believing in the oneness of Allah, believing that Isa is the messenger of Allah rather than being the son of God. These were concepts that were retained by some of the Christians around the world. One of these men made it into Yemen and started preaching in the area of Najran. And the religion was spreading, but secretly and privately and slowly. By that time, Tabban Asad was dead. And the king of Yemen was his son, Abu Nawas. News of this new religion reached to the king, and he banned it, and he persecuted the followers. There is the story in Sahih Muslim of the king and the young boy. Many scholars would attribute this story to the events between Dunawas and the Christians in Yemen. They would say that the king was Dunawas. And that story is in Sahih Muslim, we'll go over it. It says that the king used to deal in magic, and he had a sorcerer as his advisor. So this sorcerer was growing old in age, and he told the king that I might pass away at any moment, so I need to train someone to take my place. I need to inherit my skills to someone who would carry on. So they tried to find a very bright and intelligent young man, and they handpicked a young man, and they assigned him as an apprentice with this sorcerer. So he was supposed to leave very early on in the morning from his house and go and study under the sorcerer, and then come back home at night. Now this young man, on his way towards the sahir, the sorcerer, saw a worship place. And he heard prayers coming in from this place, which were different. So he decided to go and visit. And it was a church of Tawheed, of unity of Allah, preaching the true religion of Isa alayhi salam. And he was very impressed by what he was hearing. But he's supposed to be studying with the sorcerer. So he asked the priest, he told him, what can I do? The priest told him, when you leave home, visit me and come and study with me. And then go to the sorcerer, and if he tells you how come you were late, tell him because my parents delayed me. On your way back, visit me. And when you get home, when your parents tell you how come you were late, tell them that the sorcerer delayed me. So you could take a class in the morning and take a class at evening. So he continued doing that for a while. One day in the marketplace, certain beast entered into the marketplace and caused chaos among the people, and no one was able to deal with it. So this young man said, "Oh Allah, today I want to know whether the path of the priest or the path of the sorcerer is the truth. So, oh Allah, show me the truth." And everyone was attempting to kill this beast, and no one succeeded. And then this boy picked up a rock and he said, "Oh Allah, if the path of the priest is the truth, then kill this animal." And he threw the rock and it killed the animal immediately. He went back and reported this to the priest. He told him what happened. The priest told him, "My son, today you have attained a very high status. Therefore, you would be tested. You will go through trials. No one can reach such a high status without being tested by Allah."
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Abu Abdullah Muhammad al-Battani was born in 858 in Iraq. He was originally educated by his father, who was a well-known scientist. Then he moved to Raqqa, where he received an advanced education and later became a famous scholar. He was a famous astronomer, mathematician, and astrologer. Al-Battani has been known as one of the greatest astronomers of all time. He determined that there are 365 days, 5 hours, 46 minutes, and 24 seconds in a year. And in mathematics, he was the first to replace Greek chords by sines. He also developed the cotangent. Al-Battani wrote many books. He finally passed away in the year 929 AD at 61 years old. This has been a minute of Muslim civilization from IBN.
Welcome back.
In exams, the better the student, the more difficult the exam should be. Because you want to tell the difference between the levels of the students. So you have easy questions, which everyone is able to answer. And then you have medium difficulty. And then you have difficult. And then you have very difficult. Because you want to distinguish the A plus from the A minus. You want to tell the difference. Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us on this earth for a test. And according to your level, you would be tested. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء فَالْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. The ones who go through the most difficult tests are the anbiya. And then it goes down according to your level. So this priest was telling the young man, you will be tested. And then he told him, and when you are tested, do not disclose my name.
Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.